help support KBOO Community Radio by donating your used car, truck, motorcycle, boat, or any other vehicle. We'll transform the old machine into resources for unserved and underserved communities, free training, recording equipment, and great programming for the Portland metro area, Cascadia, and the world. For more information about vehicle donation, call 1-877-KBOO123 or go to kboo.fm/vehicle.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 10:59. Coming up at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Galavan speaks with Jeffrey Thomas, owner of the new gallery, Jeffrey Thomas Fine Art. They discuss the sum of its parts, part two, and the development of the Portland art scene since he ran the Jameson Thomas Gallery with William Jameson in the 1980s. Stay tuned for Stage and Studio with host Dimae Roberts. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and Portland Saturday Market. From our hands to yours, celebrating 42 years of American arts and crafts, freshly prepared foods with an international flavor, and local music every Saturday and Sunday through Christmas Eve. Local artisans, international food, live music, PortlandSaturdayMarket.com. And by Grendel's, a neighborhood coffee house offering organic coffee, sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, and Wi-Fi. Proud to support KBOO, Grendel's is open every day at East Burnside and 8th. Information at 503-595-9550 or facebook.com/Grendel's Coffee House.
I'm Dimae Roberts, Stage and Studio. You're listening to music by Portland musician David Ornette Cherry. You can hear more of his music at davidornettecherry.com. Well, what happens to an arts organization when it suddenly loses its home? That's what happened to Conduit Dance, a veteran contemporary dance group in Portland. After 20 years at the same building, they got an unexpected eviction notice. We'll talk with artistic director Terry Mathern and her new co-director, Emily Running, about the future of Conduit Dance. And in the second part of the show, we'll hear from longtime Portland teacher and choreographer of Indian classical dance, Shiv Ivanka. She's hosting an unusual opportunity to see the Kathakali Dance Troupe. It's a theatrical dance form with elaborate costumes and drums that's rarely performed outside of India. Two different dance stories today here on Stage and Studio. Stay with us. I'm Dimae Roberts. With me in the studio is Artistic Director Terry Mathern. Hello, welcome back.
Hi, Dimae.
And co-director Emily, one of the co-directors of Conduit Dance, Emily Running.
Hello.
And
thank
welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Welcome here. Your first time here. I wish it were on better circumstances.
Me too.
Conduit Dance, it's a nonprofit that's been serving independent contemporary dance in Portland for the last 20 years. And Conduit has been a great place for indie dance to perform and hold workshops. And it's been in the Pythian Building studio in downtown Portland for a couple decades since it really began. But on March 31st, something happened, Terry.
Yes. On March 31st, no.
When was that? When did you get the official eviction notice?
Well, it was a series of sort of confusing communications that kind of came to a clear point only 1 week before we were asked to leave. So that was
that was on March 18th.
Yeah.
Oh, March 18th. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was thinking about something happening on March 31st. But yeah, so you actually started communicating with them in February about something. You got some inklings in February.
Yes. Yeah, so a 30 days notice came to us in February, but then we had further conversations, which made us believe that we would have a longer time. And so we weren't really acting on the 30-day notice. And that became clear that they were not going to further extend it on the 1 week, the Tuesday prior to March 18th.
So you had 1 week to basically pack and move.
Yes.
And so that happened last week.
Yes, amazing last week, yeah.
That feels like a month ago.
It does feel like a month ago. I mean, so much happened. And you also had, so much emotion about this, too.
Yes.
Because it even with a month in notice, it's still unexpected. I mean, it still wasn't...
No.
You were planning a whole season of shows.
Right. We had commitments all the way through August and September. That we are trying to fulfill, and we have made some progress on making sure that some of these things are going to continue, and our plan is to really make that happen.
Well, I want to talk about that, but I just want to, what kind of communications did you have with this landlord? Now, I mean, do we want to talk about the landlord at all?
Well,
I mean, it's in the Pythian building, which is downtown, and it just seems like, you know, there would have been some kind of loyalty after 20 years.
Well, the situation changed for us during the recession when we had to renegotiate our lease, and things were really
like around 2009 or so.
Yeah. And things had gotten pretty difficult to maintain. So we went into a partnership with the NIA Technique, and they took the full lease over for the floor.
And they sort of do non-impact aerobic kind of work, right?
They do a kind of program that's a sort of a healthy wellness, fitness type program. So we shared the space basically with them as a partner, and as roommates, you know, have lots of differences, and
so it was kind of building for a while.
It was building,
yeah. But you thought you'd have more warning.
We thought, yes.
So you had a community meeting last week. I mean, amidst all this moving, I mean, last Monday. You had a community. And so tell us about that. Who turned out? What was involved in that?
We just wanted to have a meeting to get all of the people who had been part of Conduit for the last 20 years the chance to be in the space together, so that we can explain what had happened, to ask for their support, and to feel just to be together as a community. And that is who showed up. It was an incredible group of, I don't really know how many hundred people or so.
It seemed like a lot from the photo that you sent me. And it also seemed like there were a lot of past dancers who's worked there, as well as people who are currently there, like Emily, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a history of Portland dance in the room, and it was really, really fabulous.
What were some of the things you talked about?
Well, we kind of just explained just simply what had happened. We talked about, there was just some questions about, well, how did this happen, and what's the future, and what are you looking for? And we're trying to, not having had a lot of time to plan, we are in the planning stages as we are trying to actually act on it. So just talking about, we're not giving up. Conduit is not going away. We are going to make this, find a new space, and find a space that we can fully use and allow ourselves, allow the Conduit to really fully support dance in this community in a bigger way even than we have been.
If you just joined us, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. This is Stage and Studio, and we're talking with Terry Mathern and Emily Running of Conduit Dance about the sudden notice of eviction last week and their move out of a space they've been in for 20 years. Emily, what was that meeting like for you?
I was not at the meeting. I was at a rehearsal.
At a rehearsal. But how long have you been involved with Conduit?
I have only been involved a very short time technically as the new co-director, but you know, I've been a dancer in Portland for 7 years, and they definitely are a strong part of the community. So their presence has always been there.
So speaking as a dancer who's done a lot of independent projects, how important was Conduit as a space for you?
Yeah, you know, Conduit is a really important space for artists. It is an artist workspace. So giving the opportunity for independent dancers, choreographers to have affordable rehearsal space, have affordable performance space, have a community where they can get together and, you know, feed off each other's energy and inspiration as well. And I think that it's a really important thing to have.
Well, when did you come on board as co-director?
About a month ago.
Okay. And so what does that involve? What does that mean? There's a couple of co-directors, right?
There are. So we are actually reorganizing a little bit what each director role is, because both of the co-director roles have been replaced. Myself and Vanessa Vogel will be coming on. And my main focus will just be the programs. So the renters in the space, the performances in the space, the classes, making sure that all of those things continue on.
And Terry, will you continue to be artistic director too?
Yes. One of the ways we're restructuring has to do with the fact that I wanted to step back a little bit and from the day-to-day work and remain as artistic director in terms of just overseeing the direction of the organization. But I'm also on faculty at PSU as a dance faculty there, and so it gives me a little bit more time to dedicate to that, and then having two co-directors on to really bring new energy.
It makes sense too, because when you're an independent artist and also, you know, you're in the role of admin role, you know, yeah. It really takes away from your independent right. artist work. So it sounds like a good balance.
And
there.
Dancers are always coupling, you know, we're always doing multiple things at once.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the history of Conduit. I mean, what are some of your best memories, Terry? Have you been involved with Conduit since the very beginning?
Not quite.
Okay, but pretty close.
Pretty close. Yeah. 1997.
I mean, that counts.
It started in 1995 with Mary Oslin right. and Linda K. Johnson, and the founders, along with other six core artists, myself included, sort of joined in later. But oh my gosh, there's so many memories I can't even say. Just concerts, dance performances seen there are in a kind of space like that, which is the kind of space we want to continue to find, which is intimate and intimate
and affordable for artists.
Intimate and affordable. Yeah. I mean, affordability is crucial.
And space is at a premium here, isn't it?
And I think that one of the things that Conduit had, and what we are currently looking for as well, is a wide open space. Dancers need a lot of space. And so you can often find that in ballrooms, warehouses, even churches. Dancers use churches quite often to rehearse for performances. So I think that for me is the best memory of Conduit is just that space, and I think that it was really a wonderful, welcoming, and beautiful spot to be in. That's we're looking to recreate that.
So, what are the next steps? What are you both working on for the next steps for Conduit?
First of all, finding temporary solutions to the things that have been displaced by the sudden eviction, and then a long term plan to grow and really make changes that take it to the next 20 years.
Upcoming projects that need a space immediately?
Yes.
Let's talk about some of those.
Well, we have a couple of options in line for Dance Plus, but Dance Plus is going to happen. We're not going to, that's a July performance
that's
series.
More of sort of a festival,
a
actually.
Dance Plus festival, yeah. So that's going to, we are continuing. We're going right. to go forth with that.
Because you bring out-of-town artists as well, and there's residencies involved. And it's a pretty big festival.
It's a pretty big one. Yeah. And so we're working on making sure we have a venue for that. And a venue could be that, you know, there's a performance venue, and then there's a different place for rehearsals. It could be that we have a Conduit mobile for a while. In other words, we have things in different places throughout the city. Take advantage of that opportunity to bring dance to different areas of the city that might normally.
So conduit pop up.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yes, we're trying to find just the right term to coin.
Well, so, you know, it sounds like there's still a lot of support and vibrancy. Have any potential funders come, you know, any potential funders out there listening, you know, who might help with, you know, some of this like projection for more projects?
Sure. We have several funders, and hopefully we'll be able to go to them again for our growth, as well as perhaps just sort of some emergency funds that will take us through a certain period where we might be losing revenue as we try to find space.
Right,
we're paying
right,
extra for right. space in all these different locations. It's going to be a little challenging, but we're working on that kind of a budget plan that really makes sense to sort of make sure that that all works out. And it, you know, it's really important that it's affordable.
Well, how can the public help? Is there a way? I mean, I'm sure you're taking donations and so
Absolutely.
Forth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In fact, but will you be having a fundraiser, do you think? In the, I mean, there has to be.
Yes.
You have to, don't
yes.
you?
Yeah. Yeah, we will. We will definitely be having a fundraiser. We had planned to have a 20th anniversary.
It is your 20th anniversary
yes.
year?
Oh, yes. Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, that makes it a nice opportunity to, as one of our board members, Jim McGinn, said, to implement Conduit 2.0, the next phase of Conduit.
Right, right, the next yeah. phase. And mm-hmm. You both sound very hopeful.
Yes. Donations have come in already.
Good.
From wonderful people. Some people who never even knew us, really, who just found out about our situation. And in fact, a colleague of mine came by the Pythian building when we were moving and just handed us cash. So, you know, that's just...
Yeah. So where have you moved everything? I know you had to be out of the space.
We're in a storage.
Just temporary storage.
Temporary
place.
Storage.
Okay.
Yeah, we needed a big space, so we had to, yeah.
So people can, you know, check out conduit.org check up on
yeah.
updates and perhaps donations and such. But how else do you want people to contact you? Is there anything directly that you want people who might want to help out?
Sure, they can email
info@conduit.org.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
just check out the space. I have
yeah.
all of that at stageandstudio.org, too, if people just want to click on the
right.
link.
Right, yeah.
So it does sound like there's a positive in this, in that a lot of people kind of turned out, you know, for the meeting, for the move, and
oh
have physically and, you know, in person, as well as donation-wise, showed up to support Conduit in its 20th anniversary season. So that,
yeah.
that you know, is a good takeaway right
and,
there, you know, the silver lining.
Right.
Yes, sure.
And change is always about what you do with it.
Exactly.
So we're going to take it into, like she said, Conduit 2.0. We're moving it into the future, and it'll give us an opportunity to expand and grow. And we have 20 years of community support behind us, so we feel pretty good about it.
And this is a chance to rebuild yourself,
mm-hmm.
have some new energy.
Right. Conduit has been working on a strategic plan. We started that in November, and we had some focus groups, and we had actually come to the conclusion that it was most likely that we were going to have to move.
Anyway. Just not this soon.
Just not this soon.
Well, you can keep updated on Conduit at their website, conduitdance.org. And I have that link, as well as the podcast of this interview, at stageandstudio.org. And we'll definitely check out and look out for Dance Plus, your big festival in July, and see, you know, where you're at. You know, at that time.
Absolutely.
Terry Mathern and Emily Running of Conduit Dance, thank you so much for telling us your story today. And kudos to you. Keep the energy up. Keep positive. I know it'll turn out great for you.
Thank you.
Because you have so much support in this community.
Thank you so much.
Up next, dancer and choreographer Shiv Ivanka tells us about Kathakali dance. And we're going to hear some music from this troupe that's coming from India.
Goodbye.
I'm Dime Roberts. With me via phone is dancer, choreographer, teacher of Indian classical dance, Shivi Vanka. Are you there?
Yes. Hi, Dime.
Hey, it's been a while, Shivi. How are you?
I know it's been a long time. Fine. Thank you very much.
Welcome to Stage and Studio. Now, you know, your studio is located on the east side. Tell us a little bit about your dance studio. On the west side. I'm sorry.
On the west side.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
It's in Bethany. Situated in Bethany, it's in the Bethany Mall area, and we have been there for the last 6 years. I've been teaching in Portland for about 28 years now, and ours is the largest Indian dance school in Portland.
And it's called Kala Bharathi,
yes.
Is that right?
Dance
yes, studio.
Called- Yes.
Well, all you have to do is Google Shivi Vanka, you know, and Shivyvanka, and it just pops up. And I have that link at stageandstudio.org. How popular is Indian classical music in the Portland metro area or Tri-County area?
It's very popular. It is done in two different ways. One is where we are doing the really classical dance form, like, and I would say it's like ballet, where the training is done for 7-8 years. And then you also have the other form where there's a lot of fusion. Different styles are explored, but I keep to the traditional form of Indian classical dance. So it's we do a little fusion. We have done some with taiko, but it's all based on the... we have stayed true to technique and form.
So you're not really the Bollywood type of
not
dance.
At all.
Yes. I mean, that's what people think, right? And so there's some, just like in any art form, there's so many ways you can
yes,
create
exactly.
it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Well, Portland is about to get a very unusual and unique experience, and something I would not have heard if you hadn't called it to my attention. It's a different kind of Indian classical dance, and it's very classical. It's the Kathakali dance.
Yes, it's Kathakali, and it is from Kerala, where a lot of people from Portland have a lot of connection with that particular
really?
State.
Yeah.
Because tourism is very big there.
Where exactly is that area of India?
It is in the southern part of India,
okay.
Southern tip of India.
Well, the dance troupe that does Kathakali is going to be performing April 10th at St. Mary's Academy.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit, what makes this Kathakali dance different?
It is one of the five classical dance forms of India. And the beauty of it is usually done in that particular state with a lot of, it's such an intense art form and is not usually brought outside to the outside world. So to have a troupe that comes out and it's such a dramatic art form, you can see the face painting. It takes about, an artist about 12 to 13 years to even learn the name of your Kathakali dancer. And it's usually done by men who play the women's role, too.
Well, it's very elaborate, and
very elaborate.
In makeup, in costumes.
Yes.
And you shared some videos, which I put on stageandstudio.org, of the drum making and the costume and how, you know, how involved it is.
Yes. And they hardly ever travel, and we are so lucky this time that we have live orchestra coming with them.
Well, they don't travel because it is so elaborate.
Yes,
it's so
yes,
hard to stage.
Yes.
And
carrying
so these costumes drums. Are almost like drum-shaped, actually, aren't they?
Yes, yes, yes. And it's interesting because Portland has never seen anything like this, and it is after 10 years. A troupe is coming here.
Well, the from what I understand is that usually the Kathakali dance is like a 4-day spectacle and festival, but they're going to try to do this in 2 hours.
In 2 hours. And the beauty of it, Dime, is it's a very romantic story.
Yes, it is. So it's a love story?
It's lovely to see the stories done in the art form. And the beauty of it is it's all expressions. Every muscle, they say there are 63 muscles in the face, right? About 63 tiny muscles. And they master the art of manipulating everything.
Wow.
So for students of drama, you know, who want to come and see how to emote and how to express, oh my God, it's such an amazing experience.
Well, it's dance, but it's also a form of theater, too.
It's theater.
Yeah, yes. It is theater. Yes. How many dancers and performers and musicians are coming?
There are a total of 6 people, of 10 people. The amazing part of it is the dancers. I think there are about 4 or 5 dancers, and the remaining are the drummers and the musicians who accompany these artists. It is interesting because in this particular art form, such a lot of importance is given to the makeup artist because you can see how the makeup is. So it takes them about 6 to 7 hours.
Wow.
To do the makeup for a performance.
Well, this performance will have English subtitles too,
yes,
so people
yes.
can understand the story. But it sounds to me you have such passion for this, and when you wrote me about it, it was so passionate. What is it that you love about this type of dance or theater?
It is so unique. You know, the children, in trying to get children to understand what the world is about, I think the first beginning spot is the art and culture that is there in that part of the world. And people always talk about Kerala, how beautiful and unique it is. It's a tropical paradise. And
you mean the where it's located?
Where it's located. And this art form, for us to be given an opportunity to come to the Northwest, I think we should be able to bring our kids to it, to bring our children to this and say, this is what you learn. This is discipline. This is art. This is passion.
And this is something that's rarely performed outside of India, too. The Kathakali dance troupe will perform one show only. That's Friday evening, April 10th at St. Mary's Academy. That's located at 1615 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. For more info and reservations, you can contact Shivy directly. Shivy Vanka, is that correct?
That's correct.
971-971-409-9714. That's 409-9714, area code 971. Actually, I did that completely wrong. 971-409-9714. And you can get this info as well as the podcast on stageandstudio.org and a link to Shivy's School of Dance. In the time remaining, Shivy, what else is happening with you as a performer? Because you're a beautiful performer. Your students are incredible. I've had a chance to witness that before. Is there anything else happening for you?
Yes. We are graduating 4 of my dancers, and this weekend on the 28th at the PCC Sylvania, we have the graduation of one of my students with live orchestra from India, and the event is free. So anybody who would like to attend the program, they are welcome to come. It is at the PCC Sylvania Auditorium. It's at 4 o'clock in the evening, and seating begins at 3:30.
And when is this again?
This is this weekend.
Oh,
the 28th.
What day?
It's a Saturday, and it is at seating is at 3:30. It is at 4 p.m. It starts.
Okay, give us the exact date. What is that? March.
March 28th.
March 28th, Saturday, 4 p.m. at PCC. Which PCC?
Sylvania.
Sylvania.
Yes.
Okay, so
the event is free. So. You know, that is, you'll see Bharatanatyam.
Well, I'll definitely update the webpage at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm too, just to make sure that people can have that information. Shivy Vanka, thanks so much for letting us know about this unique dance form, the Kathakali dance, and for, you know, giving us an update on your school and your performance coming up this weekend. Thanks so much, Shivy.
Thank you so much.
You take care. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thank you to engineer Janet Anderson. Again, you can hear the show again on stageandstudio.org, or you can go on the webpage and click all the links so that you can go directly to all these events and the content that we talk about. And the podcast is on iTunes. Like us on facebook.com/stage_studio or tweet me at stage_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
Hi, this is Justin Miller, KBOO's underwriting coordinator. Every day, local businesses support KBOO through program sponsorship or underwriting. These underwriters are people like you, progressive, diverse, and supporting real radio. So when you hear an underwriter's acknowledgement, consider giving them some of your business and telling them that you heard about them on KBOO. If your business would like to reach out to the area's 55,000 most diverse and progressive listeners, you can learn how at kboo.fm/underwriting, by email to underwriting@kboo.org, or call Justin 503-231-8032. KBOO Underwriting. Your clients are listening.
Tuesday nights on KBOO, it's Cubby Cushy, Cubby Cush.
With DJ Anjali and the Incredible Kid.
10 p.m. to midnight.
2 hours of global bass featuring Bhangra, Bollywood,
and the urban sounds of the global diaspora. You're done north!
Do you worry that corporate power is totally out of control? Tune into the KBOO Evening News every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. beginning August 5th to hear the new weekly commentary by yours truly, Paul Cienfuegos. I'll be sharing stories about communities that are rising up against corporate control and passing laws that exercise their right to govern themselves. That's every Tuesday on the KBOO Evening News beginning August 5th. Don't miss it.